in verse 3. Verse 3 reads this way. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. My title today is The Blessing Will Make You an Overseer. The blessing that was on Joseph's life made him the overseer. The blessing that was on his life, the ability to produce, made him the overseer. His master watched him, Potiphar, watched him work and saw his productivity, saw the blessing that was on him. So he took him and made him the overseer of his entire house. So that tells me he had to be really productive as a slave. Now, let me help you here, because many of us make choices, and when we make choices, are we looking at the productivity of the individual we're making the choices concerned? If you increase and give stewardship of a non-productive person, you're going to have less productivity in that area. Stay with me. The blessing that we're talking about, it empowers us to produce. It's not hype. It's not a run around the church. Not cartwheels. It's not a loud shout. It's an ability that comes from God, that rest on those who yield to God's order to get results that exceed the results of anybody else in their class. Stay with me here. People have their way of grading me and don't know what all arenas I function in. People are always trying to grade you. Yeah, they always try. Well, I think you ought to do like this. I think you ought to do like, why is he saying that? Why is he going that way? What does he mean by that? Well, I'm possibly not talking to you. I was in D.C., my wife and I, on Friday. So I was going there to support my pastor. I knew the pastor of the huge church that he was going to be ministering at. So I had his information. I text him. And I said, I want you to know I'm coming to support my pastor. I said, I do not need any special treatment. I just want you to know that I'm in the house. So what I done is I showed honor. See, I look around a lot of times, especially with long-term people, because I taught you to honor. Because honor can take you places your talent can't. I was a part of a larger group of individuals whom, when we came in, he told me after I texted him, he said, my assistant will send you information, parking information. You will have also information on what door to enter. And I'm thinking, I didn't ask for any special treatment, but the way I honored him caused him to want to do for me what I didn't ask for. It's called the blessing. So we arrive at the church, first time being at the church, amazing complex. You know, it would categorize with the New Births and the Potter's House. That level of operation. So we pull in to lot D, and we're there waiting to go in. So we go in. When we get in, all my other brothers that I knew were supposed to be there, I was trying to get to them. So there's women who are sitting there at administration, and We step up one after the other, tell them who we are. And I walked up and I told them, I'm Bishop. I don't use the apostle term everywhere. I told them, I'm Bishop Stephen Davis. They looked down the list. They saw my name. Then a lady came over to us and she took us to what I thought was going to be seating in the audience. But because that pastor heard something that I didn't ask for, so they walk us in through the doors to a church we've never attended, never seen really on the inside, walk us up on the platform, gives us a seat on the platform. So I'm sitting on the end row where the traffic flows to my left. My desire when I was leaving, I just want to get close enough to touch my pastor. I want to be able to look in his eyes. I don't have to have a conversation because, see, most of you think that you can have a front row seat with a backwoods attitude. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I can teach you a whole lot about that. It doesn't work like that. So they seat myself and my wife, and I'm sitting there and I see all the people that you used to support. The ones who paved the way for Christianity, especially in the African American church. You heard of Judy McAllister? And what was the other lady's name? Carolyn Shoel? Yeah. So all the big wigs were there. And myself and Lady Davis sitting up there with them. So Bishop William Murphy walks in. Pastor Jamal Bryant walks in. Byron Cage and his mother was there. I got a chance to talk to Mother Cage. And I was surprised that she knew as much about me as she did. She said, "Don't you still have a location in Atlanta?" I'm saying, "Mama, you keeping up with me that much?" And see, for many of you, that's not a big deal. But when Mother Cage recognizes where you are, that's major. That's major. That's major. So I'm there. Praise and worship is going forth. And my leader, who I want to just look in his eyes to let him know I'm supportive of him, and I want to shake his hand because I don't try to hug before they're going to minister, because sometimes that's not the proper thing to do. So after a while, the pastor of the church walks by, and then I can feel the energy of my pastor coming. He's walking by each row, and he gets to our row, and he pauses, and he looks right in my eyes and looks at my wife, grabs my hand, nods his head. I knew what it meant. Thank you for supporting me today. For those of you who only try to support people who are in their best day, you're a little bit backwards. It's the worst day you support them that takes you up on the elevator. So I was pleased. I said, "Lord, I got a chance to touch my pastor, look in his eyes, speak to him, see how he was doing." And so I was good. So I enjoyed the service. And then as he was exiting, he said, "If you came this far to support me, I'm going to give you another handshake and look." Now, for those of you who think you're on the same level, I mean, I think you're in deception. Because if you were on the same level, you would have that level of attack coming against your life. And the level of attack that you experience announces what level that you're on. So if all you got is a few gnats flying around your head, that's not real attack. Okay. See, what you're doing is you categorize me with that self-appointed leader. I don't fit that category. And you tend to want to push your weight and think, I'll move. Keep pushing and see. Because I'm not built like that. I believe a blessing is on my life. And I'm not here for me. I'm here for those who want to win in life. I'm here for those who said enough is enough. I'm here for those who said, I finally came to the place to where I understand that God has more for me than what I've indulged in all of these years. All I asked for was to see him up close. And God favored what I asked and more. All because I learned how to honor. I never put myself on a pedestal when a greater than me is in the room. How can I serve you? How can I honor you? That's the culture of refresh. That is the culture of refresh. So you may be thinking, well, you moved to there. Now, what are we going to do? How well are you honoring? Because if you know honor, I can take you into a room you don't fit in. All right. Okay. All right. Let me get to my points here. According to Genesis 39, verse 1 through 5, there's this empowerment that's on Joseph's life. His father favored him. Be careful when a leader favors you. It's an announcement that your brothers are going to hate you. Let me help some of y'all who want the favor, who want the attention of the senior leader. Because if you ever get their attention, then those other guys and girls are going to have a problem with you. And so you're wondering why they don't invite you out to eat anymore to the girls' night out. It's because your father favored you. Now they don't want you. So Joseph's father had made a coat of many colors for him, and his brothers didn't like how he was dressed, and they stripped him off of him and dipped it in blood and went back and told the father that he was dead, but he wasn't dead. They sold him to the Israelites, Ishmaelites. They sold him into slavery. A free man was sold into slavery. It's some funny stuff happened with church folks. An innocent man was sold into slavery, thinking that that would stop him. So he gets to Egypt. He doesn't get to serve Pharaoh at the time. He's serving an officer who saw potential in him that he would be able to meet a need, but not knowing his capability for what he could do. He possibly had him to come because he needed some dishes washed and need some grass pulled and things done in the yard. That was probably his way of thinking, but he didn't know what he had come in contact with. Like many others, until you start doing what you do, they don't recognize who you are. So he starts putting his hands to things that normally wouldn't, and then it did. And things that were dying, when he put his hands on them, they started to live. Let me tell you, when I went over to New Birth for those 16 months, they showed me everything. I won't tell you all the details, but they showed me everything. But I believe when I saw everything, I believe that that same blessing that's on Joseph was on me. So I stepped my little old country self up in there. And when I stepped in, I saw the records begin to change under my hand. I saw things begin to grow. Y'all did too, didn't you, Teresa? Yeah, we saw it. I don't care what they try to say. I saw the attendance grow. I saw the income grow. I saw the morale of the people grow. I saw it all with my own eyes. And I said, sure, you're right, God. That blessing is on me. For those of you who don't appreciate the 23 people that we started with a borrowed building, You can throw me anywhere. As long as I keep my heart right, the dead things will live. I'm talking about some real stuff on you, because y'all gotten used to celebrating things that doesn't get results. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're disrespecting the power of God that rests on an individual's life for the advancement of a whole. So he's got this empowerment on him. With this empowerment on him, things begin to happen. They ask me, how do you grow a church? Get the blessing on you. You get that blessing on you, stuff starts to happen. Things that you have to go back to school to learn how to handle what God is giving you. You're not going to school to get it. You have to go to school to learn more about it. So I'm going to walk you through some points here. Let me take my time. Because when this thing is on you, I don't care if they strip your coat. I don't care if they tell your daddy you're dead. I don't care if they sell you into slavery. No matter what they do, when this is on you, you're going to keep on moving in spite of what they... I am not worried about what they're doing. Why? Because I know it's something on me that protects me from everything they do. Number one, the blessing will make you a successful person. The blessing will make you a successful person. At the latter part of last year, I was talking about faith in the blessing. The blessing will make you a successful person. Ain't no way you're going to spend the rest of your life a failure. There is no way to have the blessing on your life and then have perpetual failure. There is no way. Somehow, somewhere, that blessing is going to inspire your mind to do something different than mom and dad done, which is going to catapult you into a level of success that you have never known exists. The Bible says that Joseph was a successful man. This is not Stephen Davis's philosophy. The Bible said that he was a successful man, which means he wasn't a failure. Whatever he engaged in, he saw results come from it. It's one thing to believe to start, but when you start seeing results time after time after time, it's going to be hard to discourage you from doing what you know works. So the blessing will make you a successful person. Does anybody want to fail in this house? Anybody just want to fail? But have you decided that you're going to succeed yet, though? You may not want to fail, but if you don't make a decision that you're going to succeed, you are going to fail. I just decided I wasn't going to live in the trailer that I was raised in. I made that decision. I made a decision that the way I was raised would not be my future. I made a decision that I was going to yield myself to the blessing. And no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. That's what the blessing does. Okay. Let's walk on. Your boss can see that the Lord is with you. Potiphar's. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a part of the fivefold ministry. He was his master, his boss. And his boss saw that the Lord was with him. Let me help some of y'all who have the blessing on you. Let me help you right now. The person you're employed by sees your level of productivity. You're not in there praying, quoting scripture. You're just producing. And your boss, everybody's not going to open up a business. Somebody is called to prove to the boss that God is still God with his people. I don't know about you, Because some of y'all ain't where you need to be to open up a business. But there's some of y'all that everything your boss owns flourishes when you get to work. And anytime you take vacation, they get nervous. If you ask for a day off, they're trying to figure out what are we going to do. Because it can't function if you're not there. Somebody better get a revelation in here. Because there's some places that God has placed you, and the leader is only rejoicing because you're in place. And you got to know when you got that thing on you. See, I know we're so talented these days that we don't need the blessing. Or we think we don't need the blessing. Now, let me help you with something. If you already had some of your kind to turn on you, that's a sign that you need the blessing. So don't be looking at me funny if you have people who look like you to turn on you. If that is the case and you still here, the only reason you didn't get destroyed is because somewhere in there God has intentions or has put a blessing on you. That's the only reason you survived. That's the only reason you're still halfway stable. Now, let me help some of y'all that think everybody's going to be good to you when the blessing's on you. If you want all those friends, reject the blessing. Some people, I don't know why they left my life. But as I look forward, I'm so glad they did. And we're not being mean, but sometimes you need to celebrate when certain people leave your life. You're always shouting when they come into your life, but I believe somebody, y'all, there's some folks that need to leave your life because they're contagious to the blessing that's on you. Listen, there were about 5,000 or 6,000 people in that room Friday. 5,000 or 6,000 people in that room. I don't care if I was sitting in the balcony, they were going to find me. Some of y'all think you're hidden. When the blessing is on you, I don't care if you're in another country, they're going to find you. I don't care if you're in the backwoods, they're going to find you. I don't care if you're on a mediocre job, they're going to find you. I don't care if you're serving in an idolatrous church, they're going to find you. Listen. For those of you who have blessed people who forgot you, this is the year 2024 that everybody who forgot you is going to become subservient to you. Y'all better hear me up in here. Every person that cupbearer took the gift and the grace that was on Joseph's life and got back in the seat of serving Pharaoh. And for 2 years, he forgot him. Now, in this season, Joseph is called to be the boss of the cupbearer and the boss of Potiphar's. Everyone that had him but didn't take full advantage of what was going on in his life, now Joseph is their boss. Now, I know many of you don't believe the Bible, but I'm just a walking Bible. Every day I'm applying the principles of the Word. Let me tell you something. They do work. You have to work them. You have people who quote Scripture, but don't apply the principles. You have people who don't know Scripture, but apply the principles. And you see more productivity for those who don't know Scripture, but do operate by principles. All you need now is somebody like me to help to reinforce your belief system in the scripture, because you already got it going on. Touch your neighbor, tell them, I already got it going on. Ain't nobody got to pay your bills. Ain't nobody got to give you a ride. Ain't nobody got to make you happy. Ain't nobody got to shout for you. Ain't nobody got to cheer for you. You just got your own cheer on the inside of you. You don't need nobody to wake you up. You're already awake. You don't need anybody to push you. You're pushing everything on your own. You don't need, see, that's the problem. They think I need a shout. I got my own shout on the inside of me. I got my own praise on the inside of me. I have, nobody says a word, there's a shout on the inside of me that will illuminate everywhere I go. There's a light on the inside of me that any dark room's in trouble when I walk into the room. The blessing makes everything you touch get better. You give me 23 people in a borrowed building. Do you expect to come back and see 23 people? Because if the blessing is on me, what you gave me under my hands has the ability to multiply. I just believe that. I believe that anything that's under the influence of my hands has the ability to multiply. Put your hands out like that. I want to prophesy over your hands that your hands now receive the ability that whatever they touch will multiply. Some of y'all need to lay your hands on your money, because I believe that my money will multiply if I put my hands on it. Some of you are waiting on somebody else to speak over what you have the ability to speak over yourself. The blessing makes everything you touch get better. You know, I've thought like this for a long time. I wasn't even pastoring. I was, we were in transition, and I used to like antique cars, and I was always working on them, but they was always breaking down. So I borrowed my sister's car. I think it was a little old Nissan, driving back and forth to work. And it was faded, had been sitting out under the tree. I said, well, do I give it back in its condition? This was years ago. Or do I make it look presentable because it's under the hands of a blessed person? You should have saw me buff that car out. You should have saw the armor all I put on those tires. I think she wanted it back as soon as she saw me clean it up. It should be like this. You should be able to take something that's barely operating. Under your hands, you bring life back to it, because that's what Joseph done. Give me don't give me something that's in real good shape. Give me something that's barely breathing, and watch me bring life to something that's barely breathing. See, I don't know if y'all understand. I didn't get a church that was already built. I have never had anything that was already lively. Everything that I've taken on was dying or either dead. But I knew when I put my hands on it, all of a sudden we were going to get a pulse. When the blessing is on you, you can take the most broke down, corrupt thing and bring life to it, because the blessing is on you. I see Edmund back there. I let him have a truck that's been broke down for about 5 to 10 years. I thought it had no more life in it. He started sending me videos driving around the back of the church. I said, hold on. He continues to make it look like a truck that's alive. Installs a radio, installs the interior, restores the interior. gets the hubcaps that were missing, now driving it around like it's worth millions, and I just was gonna give it away. If you get the blessing on your life and realize that the blessing is on your life, there's something you're trying to give away that has so much more life to it. But because I'm not an Indian giver, I can't get it back. But see, everybody don't realize and they don't look at that kind of stuff. Because when you can take something that barely operates and then you can cause it to function and then you can drive it to another state. I couldn't even get it out of the shop. That tells me something's on that man's hands. That tells me there's some creativity. See, some of y'all are wallowing in your failure. When you got a blessing on you, failure is an opportunity for greater success. God is glorified when you bring something to life that was dead. So you take Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 37, and God starts to talk to him. I can tell there was a blessing on him because he was talking to dry bones. He was talking to things that nobody else would talk to. I'm pretty sure the prophets that overheard him talking thought he was crazy. But he heard the Lord say, prophesy to what was dead. And the Bible said he prophesied as he was commanded. The Bible said the bones begin to shake. You said there's no movement in it. When you start saying what God said, even the bones start rattling. But they don't stop as they rattle. What they do, they start coming into order. When you got a blessing on you, you can call stuff into order that never did operate by order. I'm not afraid to call refresh into order because there's a blessing on me and it shall come into order. He starts talking to, because a blessing is on him, he starts talking to a mighty army that's decayed. I wish I could have got the elite people to join my church. But since I didn't have the elite people, I started talking to the dry bones. Some of y'all think you're up in here just because you chose to. No, I started talking to you. You think you achieved that degree and achieved that promotion and achieved that raise. No, when I get up on this mic, I know a blessing is on me. So I start talking to your future while you still are harassed by your past. Telling you, you are the one. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength and the ability. All of a sudden, you say, I can. All of a sudden, you went and you attended the interview. Because there were so many times you didn't even show up. But when you heard me prophesy over your life, you saw every opposition as an opportunity. So he prophesied, Ezekiel, he prophesied into everything that God wanted for those dry bones, those hopeless. They were hopeless. No, ain't nothing gonna happen. They were hopeless. I know they don't want to give me any credit for the message that I preached, but it's okay. They were hopeless. And they came in here and the blessing was on me and I started talking to hopelessness. I started talking to failure. I started talking to an orphan spirit. Saying you're no longer an orphan, you're a son and daughter of God. You're heirs and joint heirs to the promise of God. What happened to you can't ride you for the rest of your life. Wonder why you speak like that? Because I'm blessed to speak like this, and I won't stop speaking like this, because every time I open up my mouth, something comes alive. I said every time I open up my mouth, something gains hope. Every time I open up my mouth, somebody feels like I can make it. I had a horrible weekend, but I can make it. I was about to throw the towel in, but let me pick my towel back up. I can make it. I thought everything that could go wrong had gone wrong, but I feel like after I heard something, I feel like I can make it. God will never put you under a blessing if he wanted you to be cursed. I'm gonna say it again. God will never put you under a blessing if he wanted you to be cursed. When God wants you to be blessed, he puts you under the influence of a blessing. Therefore, that blessing, if you remain in order, the oil that flows down that blessing will flow into your life. And nobody has to come and check your checkbook. Nobody has to come and check your business or your job. The evidence are automatic. So God strategically got something in mind for you that you didn't have in mind for yourself. You thought that last divorce had counted you out. You thought when they walked out that God walked out. God didn't walk out. If God had walked out, you never would have met me. God didn't walk out. They walked out. Let them continue to walk out. There's some other people that need to walk out of your life because God wants to come into your life, and God can't effectively bless you because you don't make enough room for him. They say, well, you left New Birth, so I had 3 campuses. Now there's 7. We don't die, we multiply. Come on, put it in the atmosphere. We don't die, we multiply. Oh, witness to your neighbor. We don't die, we multiply. And what they don't know is, I'll be back. When you got a blessing on your life, you will tell tragedy, I'm coming back. This is not the last round. This is not the last day. This is not, no. I am coming back. I shall return. This year, somebody say this year, will mark unusual favor and an increase in authority. This year, somebody say this year. This year. You need to keep up with this year because this is a birthing year. You need to keep up with this year because this year is the year that God is going to cause some things that's been held up to unfold for you. This year, the Bible said that when the angel talked to Mary, he said, woman, you are highly favored. I believe some wild women are about to be highly favored. I said, I believe some wild women, the wall of women. I believe 2024 that God said, that you are highly favored, not just favored, highly favored. Shout like you know it's you. This year will mark the unusual favor. They don't even know you. They don't even know why they're being nice to you. They don't even know why they want to bless you. They don't even know why they want to give to you. They cannot, in their mind, they can't figure out, why am I in love with this person? I don't know. It's called favor. And favor is not fair. Your application didn't even measure up to the other resumes. But they picked you because favor was on you. When my spiritual father passed away, they couldn't figure out who it was. They couldn't figure out who it was because they were looking for certain criteria, and they were looking for a certain demeanor, and they couldn't figure out who it was. You don't look like where you going. They search around. Is it them? Is it him? Is it him? Is it her? Is it her? When favor comes on your life, you will come out of the background. Let me prove to you in scripture, because some of y'all don't believe that. When Samuel showed up to anoint the next king, it said the oil would not flow until it got to David. They've been waiting. Everybody's been passing through. But it's your time to walk into the room. 2024 is your time to walk into the room. And as soon as you walk into the room, that is connected to God will say, rise up, anoint him. That's the one. Y'all think this I am the one thing is just a cliche. No, it's your prophecy. It's your prophecy. The oil wouldn't flow. The project wouldn't work. The day wouldn't present itself properly until you arrive. It's when you arrive that things begin to flow. It's when you arrive that the anointing begins to increase. Let me just, before I get to the last one, I'm about to the last one. Let me help some of y'all who don't really understand what occurred. I was thinking that my late spiritual father chose me to stay. But I got this revelation over the weekend that he chose me so he could reveal me. Can I prophesy over you? You're standing at the threshold of your reveal. Some places you were brought to, not just to stay, but to be revealed. Let me tell you something. They know who you are. Everybody sitting around you knows who you are. Everybody that came walking by you, they may not have spoken, but they know who you are. Touch your neighbor, ask them, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know whose I am? Some of them didn't celebrate you because they know who you are. So don't be deterred because they don't throw a big celebration. Just keep on moving till you get in the right room. When you get in the right room, the celebration will never stop. When you get in the right room, there's going to be balloons and pom-poms and celebrations all the time when you get in the right room. But God has to wait for a while to put you in the right room. Slap your neighbor, tell him, I'm in the right room now. I'm in the right room. Yeah, you're in the right room because somebody wants to celebrate you. Everybody's not trying to take you down, take you out. There's some people that are so excited that you walked in the room, that you're sitting on the pew, that you're in the section. They're so excited because they know it's a blessing on you. The influence of the blessing on your life will spread from the house to the field. Potiphar's house was blessed under the influence of Joseph. But the blessing was so strong on Joseph that it went into the field. I want to tell you, this blessing cannot be concealed. This blessing cannot be confined. This blessing cannot be kept inside the house. This blessing is going to the field. And if you believe that what's on you is going to the field, I dare you to shout. There's something flowing from the altar, flowing under the thresholds of the doors, flowing out through the gate. It's called the blessing. You can go after everything else and achieve it and not be happy. Or you can go after the blessing and then achieve everything else and be one of the happiest individuals in the earth. I just made up my mind. If I can get the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow with it. I don't want my blessing torment me. I said, I don't want my blessing tormenting me. I don't want the ability to increase to torment me. No disrespect to anybody, but if I have a beautiful wife but can't keep her at home anytime, that's not a blessing. I have a beautiful car, but I can't pay for it, or a house, that's not a blessing. I want the blessing on me, so everything, the debt and confusion and attacks, can't have anything that belongs to me. Can y'all receive that today? I gotta quit because I gotta preach tonight. But on this house, nobody knows like I know. I know every detail of the business of this house. Nobody knows how much the blessing has rested on us. I can't say we didn't have challenges. I can say we overcame. And if we overcame, you can too. Will you all stand on your feet for me? It's something that God's been trying to get to us, because unlike myself, many are afraid to say what God is saying because they feel like they're going to be ridiculed by people who don't even belong with them. But if we say it, the results will follow. I believe today in 2024 that the results of the preached word will follow those who believe. I don't think you're going to have to wait until June. I don't think you have to wait until May. I think God's going to knock your socks off before we get over into March. I do. Let me show you this, and I'm done. Don't expect honor from the people you were expecting it from. It can come from a different place. I'm going to tell you that it's going to come from a different place. You can get disappointed because of the people you want to honor you who withhold honor. Or you can understand that the blessing is on you, and when God gets ready to move you into a room where the celebration and the honor is, you don't have a bad attitude. We want to take Holy Communion. And after Holy Communion, I don't know what you're going to do in this first part of the year, but myself and Lady Davis, other than the tithe, we give a week of our salary every year. It got quiet. That's just what we do. Some of you all need to let God know, even if it's a day, whatever you can do, let God know sometime in January that you know there's a blessing on you. You're not thinking it anymore. You know it. And if you know it, there's nothing the devil and people can do to stop it. And what was meant to destroy you, all it done was fuel you. When the blessing is on you, it fuels you. Oh, you gonna attack me like that? Let me show you how to take it to the next level. The winds that blow against me are the winds that cause me to fly.
if you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church, we're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.